This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon and welcome to RCR's Daily Brief. It's Thursday, March 13th, and I'm Megan McNamara. First, Paul Brennan has the latest headlines. We'll then hear from AUT Professor of Public Health and co-founder of Precure, Grant Schofield, on his policy ideas and his petition to make New Zealand healthy again. And to wrap it up, we've got Natalie and RCR Signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon said at the opening of an investment summit in Auckland that New Zealand is open for business. Attendees collectively manage about $6 trillion in capital and include major banks, pension funds, and sovereign wealth funds. The goal of the summit is to streamline investment into roads, renewable energy projects, housing, and health infrastructure. Recent changes to the Overseas Investment Act also make it easier for infrastructure decisions to be made in just 15 days. The government is also proposing new procurement rules to make it easier for New Zealand businesses to win public contracts. Under the changes, contracts worth over $100,000 and construction projects above $9 million will require agencies to consider the broader benefits of choosing local firms. Parliament has passed a Labour members' bill criminalising wage theft by employers. The Crimes Amendment Bill cleared its third reading, 6360, despite opposition from National and ACT. Labour MP Camilla Belich, the bill's sponsor, says the law will help workers seek justice for stolen wages. Overseas, major US trading partners are attempting to counter Washington's blanket 25% steel and aluminium tariffs. The European Commission says it will enact tariffs in April, while Canada wants to target certain US goods with a series of duties. China vows to use all necessary measures. The UK government has halted all new applications for its Sustainable Farming Incentive Scheme. Officials cite overwhelming demand, but critics call it a betrayal to farmers. The government insists funding remains for existing agreements and promises a new scheme after a spending review. US Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has endorsed the decision of burger chain Steak and Shake to cook its fries in beef tallow, criticizing seed oils and ultra-processed foods. His stance contradicts the American Heart Association, which links saturated fats to heart disease. And now for RCR Quick Links. Labour MP Penny Henare has apologised to Parliament's Privileges Committee, but stood by his decision to perform a haka in Parliament over the Treaty Principles Bill. The School Lunch Collective has turned to an Australian supplier to ensure it has enough meals after food manufacturer Lebel went into liquidation this week. The Palestine Forum of New Zealand is calling on politicians to support the unlawful occupation of Palestine sanctions bill. Former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is facing a charge of crimes against humanity in The Hague due to his crackdown on drug suppliers while in office. A top court in Romania has rejected an appeal by nationalist politician Calin Georgescu to lift a ban on his candidacy for the election. And Greenland's pro-business party, which favours a slow approach to independence from Denmark, has won the parliamentary election. And that's RCR Bytes news for today, Thursday the 13th of March. I'm Paul Brennan.
Earlier this week, Paul Brennan interviewed co-founder and chief strategy officer of Precure, Grant Schofield, where he discussed his proposed health reforms for New Zealand, focusing on prevention, chronic disease management, and mental health.
We've had some good chats about the state of our health. It's hard not to feel slightly depressed when you see the emphasis on what many people, including you, call our sickness, current sickness system. First of all, do you want to just go through a bit of that, and then we can go through what is needed to change that direction and actually get some runs on the board, let me put it that way.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is the world fundamentally changed with one man's actions, and that was Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr.'s move from a Democrat to a more centrist position and then joining in now with his Make America Healthy Again. Now, it's very easy to get caught in the I don't like Trump, I do like Trump, you know, all of the US politics. But by far the bigger picture there is, you now have actually had someone who's got some leverage, which actually, you know, almost all of the Americans agree on, which is a really an interesting situation because that never happens, of course. And it's been around saying, if it's not health that we're after, what are we after in society? When you're in rich societies like New Zealand, we're still teetering there, then why are we not investing resources in the things that most people consider important for their life? And that's staying healthy in the first place. And so the sort of executive orders that have been issued now in the US, when you actually read through the details of those, they're astonishingly clear and astonishingly good. And so I've read through those and gone, hey, we actually need to, someone needs to stand up in New Zealand and bring health back onto our political agenda. Now, I'm not a politician, so how does one in a social democracy engage in that? So what I've done is gone and written what I think is a comprehensive set of plans with background and then actions around what New Zealand needs to do in terms of health reform and where we would put budget, what we would allocate things towards. And then I've started that as a parliamentary petition. That's how a social democracy works, and that's what I'm into. I'd preface that by saying, you know, across three things. We've got this chronic disease epidemic of diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and then the sort of ongoing things around Alzheimer's and neurological and dementia-type issues. We've got a mental health crisis that's unprecedented, particularly in our young people and we're the adults in society, and we can talk more about that in a moment.
Yeah.
And we've gone down a pharmaceutical track where we've ended up with a pill for every ill, and the only real thing you can expect from either secondary care in hospital is to fix yourself up if you're injured, which is great, or a medicine, which might or might not work and may do more harm than good on many occasions. And it's just not good enough.
Allocation of resources to health. I think you say between 5 and 15% of the budget. Is that right?
Well, what I'm shooting for at the moment, I think if you talk about what, you know, my catch cry is, of course, is prevention is cure. Would much rather you didn't get these serious diseases, first of all, because they're no fun having them. Second of all, they cost loads of money. And third of all, they inconvenience a lot of other people. So the question is, what do we spend on preventing stuff? And the answer is probably less than 1%. And what we do call prevention is really only catching disease early. So you can get a breast cancer screen or cervical cancer screen and these types of things. And those do catch diseases early, and that's a good thing, but it's not preventing the disease in the first place, it's just catching it early. What we're talking about is a full prevention strategy. And I'm saying if we just allocated 10% of our health budget to prevention in terms of chronic disease, that would be $3 billion. That's $3 billion more than what we currently spend. And you go, where does the money come from? This is the big question, Paul. I'll allocate another 5% extra of the health budget to mental health as well, because at the moment it's an inhumane system. There's really no community care available. People, you can call the police on your relatives, which is sick, and then they can go into an in-care facility where it may not even be safe. So the thing is, around that sort of money, we haven't at all considered where we would get that from. So what are you going to stop doing? And this is the bit that people are going to have to get their head around. At the moment, we spend a third of our budget in health in the last 6 months of people's lives for care that they didn't want often, and care that most often makes little difference to their quality and quantity of life and often makes it worse. I'll just say that again because it's a very important thing. We spend a third of our health budget on people in the last 6 months of their life for care that they never wanted and they wouldn't have consented to if they'd been asked, for conditions where the treatment often makes no difference and often makes things worse. So we spend at perverse ends, and yet we're not prepared to spend on something that would have prevented those problems in the very first place. People do want to support this, as we actually are supposed to be a functioning social democracy, then I've got it up on precure.com/petition, P-R-E-K-U-R-E.com/petition. You can go and read my whole health reform doc there. You can link through to the government parliamentary website. You can sign your life away and show some support. My view at the moment is the only real route to radical change is going to come from the public, strongly bottom up. If you're waiting for the politicians just to get their act together and think sensibly, good luck.
And now it's time for Natalie and RCR Signpost.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Signpost, your guide to our freshest lineup and real ways to take action. Landing on RCR today, a Rural Report climate special in which Ian McIntosh challenges the idea of significant human-induced warming and reveals to Don Nicholson and Jaspreet Boparai the climate data they're not telling you. Hawke's Bay resident Jessica Maxwell updates Paul Brennan on the Ombudsman's scathing criticism of Hastings District Council after Cyclone Gabriel's failures. And on Media Matters, Marty Gibson and Marie Buskey argue that identity politics and treaty reinterpretation are driving division. While Lindsay Perigo brings his usual fiery enthusiasm to Perigo's perspective, slamming woke ideology, judicial activism, and political corruption. Plus the latest barnyard buzz on this week's Kiwi Farm. And don't miss tonight's RCR 360 at 8 p.m. This week, it's Orwell's Nightmare, in which Alistair Harding and Marie Buskey dive into digital manipulation. This is a crucial conversation today as the deadline for feedback on the proposed biometrics privacy code closes tomorrow, Friday the 14th of March. Have your say via the show notes or privacy.org.nz. In other calls to action, Mana Wahine Kororo urges listeners to give feedback on the Midwifery Council's revised guidelines, where mother and baby have been removed from the scope of practice, or request an investigation via the petitions committee. Plus, Professor Grant Schofield is petitioning for urgent health reforms, focusing on prevention, mental health, and chronic disease. Link in show notes. Finally, a reminder that you can get our exclusive wine deal. Mulber Wine Limited, MWL, has a special offer for Foundation Club members. Check your Bites email, and if you're not a member, no worries, use code RCR15 for 15% off at checkout. If you buy two mixed cases, you get free shipping. Cheers.
And that's all from us today. All the links to the interviews featured in today's show are, of course, listed below. We hope you enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we'll be back tomorrow at noon. I'm Megan McNamara for The Daily Brief.